Good morning, everyone. The title of my message this morning, maybe two titles in a way, is one is The Candle in the Window. And the other one, and the subtitle to that is What to and Why to Appreciate Your Mother. It's one thing we all have in common. Absolutely every one of us have in common. We all have a mother. And God has said, He said He wants us to honor them, father and mother, but He wants us to honor our mothers. He wants us to try to, in one way, while we never can, pay back what we owe them. In one way we never can, but another way, to have that kind of a spirit, that kind of an attitude, that kind of a mindset is my focus this morning. In 1984, I was 27 years old, if I did it right, and I rented a farm. It was 2 miles down the road from where my parents lived. And my father was a farmer, and he'd been that way all his life. And there's a farm came up for rent 2 miles down the road. It was 320 acres. But only about half of that was actually tillable. So I actually only farmed, well, a little more than that. We rented some other land besides, but I actually only farmed 165 of that. It had a 60 sow farrow to finish operation on it. 60 sows and a nursery, and it finished out all the pigs to up to 220 pounds or so. Had a 10,000 bushel grain bin on it. That's where I put the corn when I harvested my corn off of those acres so I could feed my pigs. It was a sharecrop situation. In other words, the land owner let me live in the buildings and use the buildings free of charge. I lived in the house and used the buildings free of charge. And I did all the work. He paid half the expenses. I paid half the expenses. But that was 1984. I was 27 years old. I didn't have any money. That's about the truth of it. Very little. And so when I put my application in for the farm, I knew I needed some money. So I put out on a big spreadsheet here all the, I could farrow this many sows and it had this many pigs and I could sell them at this weight and it'd take this long to get there and I could sell them for this much. And I have my feed, my input costs. I pretty much knew if things went as I thought they should go, that how much money I would need before I'd start getting a return. Well, I didn't have that money. So I went to the bank. I figured I needed about $30,000, which was more back then than it is today. And they said, sorry, we can't loan you that much. I think they loaned me, I'm not sure, around $20,000. So I had to find someplace else to get the other 10, which I did. And there were 25 farmers applied to rent that farm. It wasn't a real productive farm, but it was a lot of acres right there in one spot, and it was desirable. And so I borrowed the money, and we set out in business, farming. My wife was scared. She just had not been used to that. I had always worked a day job, and I brought in a weekly paycheck, and so every week there was the money, and that's what we paid our bills with. Well, it wasn't going to be a weekly paycheck. It was going to be whenever we sold hogs, or in the fall when we had a little extra grain left over when we sold the grain, or whenever we sold the grain. Well, we borrowed money. And I became a debtor. I owed somebody something that I needed to pay back. It was pretty tight during those years, those first few years, a couple years. Maybe some of you heard us tell this story before, but I remember Ann coming to me and said, "Sweetheart, there's $151 in the checkbook and there's $175 worth of bills. What do we do about that?" Well, yeah, obviously it worked out. We paid our bills. We got the place. He got to the place about 6 years later or so, six or seven, I'm not sure exactly, where the landowner, the landowner wanted to sell the farm. He just wanted to sell it, and we didn't think we could buy it, and we didn't try to buy it. So we sold out. We sold out, and we came up with about, not that it matters so much, I think we had about $60,000 left over then when we sold everything, paid all the bills, paid our debts, and had about that much left over. Well, we needed a place to live. So we bought a farm, we bought another house, we bought a house, a sheriff's sale. We paid $127,000 for it, and we only had $60,000. So we borrowed some more money. We became debtors again. We didn't take vacations. We didn't buy ice cream. We didn't buy orange juice. We just simply recognized our responsibility to those who had loaned us money, and we did everything we could to pay that back. Any extra money, any profit we made on the farm or anything we made at work, it went towards the loan. So maybe you figured out by now what the connection is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. The connection is our mothers have given us something, and we want to, as much as we can, pay them back. And I know we can't. But at the same time, that's my focus this morning. Every one of us have a mother. It's really interesting to just look at every face and say, there one time, just a little baby one day. Just little babies, all of us. We was born. And our mother held us, and she nursed us, and she gave us our food, and she did all she did. Every single one of us. I was there. None of us remember it. But our mothers did something for us that nobody else could do. And so my focus this morning again is what we can appreciate about them. And why? And how can we pay this debt that we owe? I think it's a little like, and I don't know if our attitude is always right in all of it. We might have been focused a little too much on paying back our debt. I don't know. Probably were some. But even so, some of our mothers have gone on. They're not here with us anymore. And the fact of the matter is, because time takes its toll on the human body, and things happen, and the mind, all those kind of things, that being the case, in one sense, we're glad and they're glad they're not here. Not that we wouldn't want them to be if everything was normal, but it just happens that way. So here we are. We are, some of us have mothers here. Some of us have mothers still alive. Some of us don't. My mother is gone. But what your mother did for you was something you couldn't do for yourself. You would have died You wouldn't have lived if she wouldn't have taken care of you. She gave you life. She gave you an opportunity. I realize it's the natural course of the way God made things, the way God designed things. I realize all that, but this is still a fact. Each one of us were born and we all were given something that we, well, in one sense, didn't deserve. And yet at the same time, because that's the responsible, our responsible mothers took care of us, we did deserve it in a way. But have you ever thought, and I suppose you probably have, those of you who have children, thought about how much time she spent just taking care of you? I didn't try to figure it out at all, but I just know that if she had not, we would all have died. None of us would be here. I find myself realizing that, wow, my mother really did a lot for me. She did a lot for me. I was a selfish, uncaring. It didn't matter to me how she felt or anything else. I wanted what I wanted. And I let her know. And we all did. Again, that's just the way life is. She got up at night with me. She was tired. She was sleepy. Sometimes she just didn't hardly know how she could keep going. I don't know if I'm describing any of your mothers or not. Probably somewhat. Maybe a lot. When you were sick, when I was sick, she took care of me. I'd throw up and she'd clean it up. I made my diaper dirty and she cleaned it up. We all did. And she did that many, many times. And what's more, by and large, she loved to do it. She maybe got tired of it sometimes, but she did it. Do you know why she did it? Because she loved you. She fed you. She washed your clothes. She encouraged you when you were going through school and you had some homework to do, or you had a hard project or hard something you didn't quite understand. She was there. She would do what she could do. And she did. You cost her a lot of money. Your father was involved in that, sure. But because of that, she probably went without some things sometimes. She probably didn't get everything she'd have liked to have had. She probably was, well, maybe you just went without sometimes. I'm not complaining, but we knew a little bit about that. She taught you how to be honest. She taught you it was wrong not to be. The father was involved here, but we're talking about mothers, and I'm sure she had a place in that too. She took upon herself the fact that as you grew and as you matured and as you made your decision, it was going to affect her. She was going to be her reputation was going to be affected. She still did it willingly. It's a little like this. The place of your mother in your home. This was your mother in here. This is your father out here. The illustration may break down a little bit. What we have, by and large, I think it'd be true to say that the mother is the hub here. The father is out here. He is doing all the things he needs to do. And they're connected here with these spokes here. But this is how important the mother is. And this is what she's done for you. She has given you something that it's a wheel. It can move. It can roll. It can do its job. But her reputation was at stake as she bore you and as she taught you and as you grew. She never expected to get repaid. She was going to love you regardless. And that's a little where the candle in the window comes in. Maybe some of you have heard me tell this story. I was grown. I was a man. I had been making choices for myself for many years. And I did something that hurt her badly. She had many reasons that she could have reprimanded me and even maybe even despised me, and she could have had all kinds of things that she could have done against me and not accepted me and all those kind of things. But you know what she did? She put a candle in the window. I don't know the full meaning of all that, but what it said to me was she still loved me. She wanted me to come back. I was welcome back. I was welcome there. She had hope. I'm talking about mothers in a godly realm. I'm sure you all know that. Mothers are not gods. We don't worship them. We don't pray to them or through them. They are fallible. They are imperfect. They're even wrong sometimes. They don't always understand correctly. Sometimes they jump to improper conclusions. Mothers do this. They don't always have the best answer, or maybe even the right answer. Sometimes they just simply don't know what to say or do. And when you really stop and think about it, they're just like me. I'm just like them. I'm no better, maybe no worse, but it gives us a little bit of a feeling of understanding when we realize that even though mothers are honored by God, and we'll get into that a little later here, even though God says you should honor them, they still make mistakes. They're human. They have human characteristics. But as we grew and as we realized who they were to us, we realized that there was something in our hearts that just made us love them. They loved us. We loved them. Since mothers aren't perfect, mothers need help. They're not as strong as they seem to be sometimes. Sometimes they're, figuratively speaking, their hands hang down. I would say probably it might be true with most mothers, most godly mothers. In their times of tiredness and stress and not knowing what to do, they even wonder where God is. They may feel alone and need protection. They seek for the strength from God that God promises and wonders where they missed it. They may even wonder, where is God? Has He forgotten me? Why don't I have this vital, joyful, alive, full of energy and vigor feeling? Why isn't it there for me? They may even wonder if God has forgotten them. They know not, but at the same time, they don't feel the strength. I've never been a mother, so I can't say this, but they may feel that way sometimes. They never get a break. That's maybe not totally true, but the responsibility is always there. The cooking, the cleaning, the washing, the ironing, all the household chores, the band-aids that go with children, and all, it's always there. It doesn't go away. But they keep going anyway. They keep going anyway. That's what mothers do. It's not a matter of we men being able to understand. Sure, we can empathize, we can sympathize, we can try to understand, we can be there, we can watch them. But there's something mothers carry in their hearts. There's something mothers carry in their hearts that father doesn't quite carry quite the same. There's some kind of a bond there, I think, between a mother and a child. And it starts in the womb. Some kind of a bond there that is just there. Again, talking about godly mothers, I suppose there's mothers that could let all that go, or at least some of it. But regardless what happens, I shouldn't say regardless, generally speaking, a godly mother will always put a candle in the window. Maybe you didn't walk away like I did, and I hope you didn't. I hope you don't ever. But that's what mothers do. They put candles in windows. They say to their wayward son or their wayward daughter, daughter, I still love you. I still want you back. You're mine. You'll always be mine. Godly mothers put candles in windows. If you want to turn with me to Proverbs, I'm sure you expected to go here today, maybe. Proverbs chapter 31. Couple other scriptures too, but I'll go to this one. Verse 10, we're going to start in verse 10. Solomon says, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find it? He says, her price is far above rubies. And I'd like to put mother in there. Who can find a virtuous mother? Her price, her value is far above rubies. You can't buy who she is. You can't find something else to replace her with money. She is this kind of a wife. It's largely what this is talking about here, but I think we can apply that to mothers too. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Could I change that to say the heart of a child does safely trust in her and he has confidence there'll be no need. She'll do them good, him good, not evil all the days of her life. That's what godly mothers do. She works willingly with her hands. She does the cleaning, the laundry, and all those kinds of things. She does what it takes in verse 14. She does what it takes to bring food in and supply and feed the family. That's what she does. This is your mother. And we're honoring mothers today. We're giving a little bit of credibility and not, well, they deserve that. But they give a little bit of blessing and honor to them today. She rises while it is yet night and giveth meat to her children. She takes care of the things she needs to take care of. She buyeth it. She considers the field and buyeth it. She takes care of those things. She goes and buys the grocery. She does the things she needs to buy. She does it with good reason and she does it well. She doesn't foolishly spend the money. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She's willing to do what it takes to do what needs to be done. That's what she does. Let's go on down through there a little quicker. maybe even, you know, from that verse on down through to maybe the rest of the chapter. Yeah, the rest of the chapter there. Or at least down to 25 or 24. She does those things she needs to do. She does them right. She does them with carefulness. She's willing to be careful with how she spends money and what she buys, and it's all good. She may make some mistakes, as people do. But this is what a mother, this is why mothers deserve honor. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She has carefully and diligently maintains her own honor, maintains her own reputation. She maintains her. She does things that are right and good. This is what your godly mother has done. And I'll just skip down to the last verse. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She has done all she can do. And it now becomes your responsibility to honor her. That what she has done produced a good work in us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll start in verse 8. I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also. That the women pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And that women adorn themselves in modest apparel and with esteem, fashionedness, and sobriety, not with embroidered hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. Women, your mother adorn herself. You mothers, adorn yourself with to adorn something, it feels to me like it kind of, I don't know what the right word is, dresses it up. It becomes something that is not just bare and stark, but something that has some value and beauty to it. Adorn yourselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, or with a not really a downcast face, but yet at the same time, not a face proud, a face that is willing to take the back seat. That's the right way to say it. I don't know. And sobriety. Not with things that unnecessary things, I think, is what Paul is talking about here. But, he says, not with broidered hair, gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's what we're after. We're not, the Lord does not want us as mothers to fix ourselves all up and try to make ourselves look pretty that way. In fact, God says for a woman to adorn herself with these things that are modest and not costly, that's a more beautiful sight than that. It's a more beautiful sight to adorn ourselves in the sober way. But rather than doing that, with good works, doing things that are good, good works, good things that are right and things that are holy. He goes on, he says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Let the mother, and godly mothers have done this, they have learned in silence with all subjection. In other words, they have been willing to be taught. They have been willing to subject themselves to being changed, to being taught, to being different. And verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. When Jesus was there on the cross, he purposely looked down and he said, "Woman, behold," he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he said to the disciple, we believe it was John, "Behold thy mother." I don't know. It feels to me like that Jesus had a special place in his heart for his mother. There's something special about mothers. And I don't think that was coincidence. I think Jesus did have everything Jesus did was with purpose. So when he said what he did about his mother, he had a purpose in mind. He wanted her to be taken care of. And I'm sure John did. I also think of Mary. When the shepherds came there and told Mary all the things that the angels had said that night, it just says simply, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This was a mother pondering what the future of her son was. She didn't know. I don't think she knew. That's what godly mothers do. They ponder where their sons will be, who their sons are. And I'd like to think that godly mothers speak into the lives of their sons and their daughters. I think they did. I think they did in your life. I hope they did. We can be thankful for that. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The mother being the hub, if this is an accurate picture at all. The mother being the hub. You can turn over to Titus and we can look at what a mother should be, or at least a wife and a mother should be. That the aged women, likewise, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, and the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. Mothers teach good things. And I know we know all that, but I just want to honor them. I just want to honor the mothers, your mothers. They teach them to be, they teach the older women, mothers, teach the younger women, mothers, to be discreet. Well, they teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. They teach them all these things that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is what mothers do. This is what women do. This is what mothers do. I think of Hannah. Hannah was a mother, or she wasn't a mother. She wanted to be a mother. She went there to the temple that day and she was praying. And Eli misunderstood her, misunderstood what she was doing, but she was praying. Hannah was praying. Godly mothers pray. They seek for strength that they need. They look for ways to be able to bring the truth to their children. The Amplified says it this way. Bid the older women similarly, as the older men, to be grave and all those things, to be reverent and devout in their deportment, as becomes those engaged in sacred service. Not slanderers or slaves to drink. They are to give good counsel and be teachers of what is right and noble, so that they will wisely train young women to be, the Amplified says, sane and sober of mind, or temperate, disciplined, to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, homemakers, good-natured, kind-hearted, adapting and subordinating themselves to their husbands, that the word of God may not be exposed to reproach, blasphemed, or discredited. These are also godly mothers. These are godly mothers that do these things. Mothers put candles in their windows when they don't know what else to do, when they have done all they can do, like my mother did. They hold out their hands, they hold out their arms and say, "We still love you. We still care about you. You're welcome back here as a son. You'll always be our son." We have a debt to pay. And God says it like this. He says to honor them. I think that's our debt that we have to pay. We honor our mothers. Mothers have a tremendous ability and place in life. And I'm going to read you a poem. The poem is, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Now, granted, we're not, mothers aren't ruling the world, but what that's saying is that there is a, they give the teaching, their spirits, their things, work with their children. They're very much of an influence in their children, in their children's hearts and lives. That is the kind of, that is the way the world will be. If all the mothers were good mothers, we'd have a good world. That may take some justification, but we'd have a better world. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. I think you could say mothers, but we'll use, they have women here. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy is the tender fountain. Power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets. From them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil. Sunshine streamed or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mother, how divine your mission here upon your natal sod. Keep, oh keep, the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I know you know this, and I know you're thankful for it. Those of you who have had godly mothers. But mothers have had a large part to do with who you are. Sure, you've made your decisions. You're older now. You've made your decisions. And you are where you are. But she brought you up in a certain way. And she did what she did that brought you to where she is. She deserves to be honored. God even says so. I am indebted to my mother for many things. But especially her love for me. Especially her love for me. That isn't a love that came because she just decided she had to. That's two things. One, it's an inborn thing. That relationship I talked about earlier between the mother and the child, it just starts here in the womb. And there's just something there in a godly mother that binds them to the child. Also, the other thing is, when a godly mother will learn to love Jesus, she'll have a desire and a strength in her heart and her life to love you. Not because when you were a baby you were so lovable. Sure, we love them, but they are pretty selfish, those children. It's been said before that the prisons are full of men with absentee fathers. And I think it's probably right. They tell me that, I think, not sure how it is here, there's something about, yeah, the Mother's Day cards that go out of the prison are many on Mother's Day, very few on Father's Day. Prisons are full of absentee fathers, men with absentee fathers, but I think they would be fuller if there was absentee mothers. I'll just encourage you to do this. If your mother's still living and you can honestly do this, go home and thank your mother for her sacrificial love for you. Obviously, just like fathers, just like people, some people do it better than others. Some mothers do it better than others. I don't doubt that. But at the same time, again, I can't forget or deny the fact that God said to honor. And he said to do that, and he said, if you'll do that, your days may be long upon the earth. That simply means that the family, the unit, reputation, I don't know how it all works, but that your family will be generated, or you'll have generations after you. That doesn't mean you're going to live a long time to be 90 or 95 or 100 years old. I think it means that you'll be perpetual. Your family will be perpetual, more or less, as perpetual as life can be. That your days may be long upon the earth. Go home and thank your mother for her sacrificial love for you. And even if you can't thank her for her sacrificial love, there's surely something you could thank her for. You know, there's nothing like an enthusiastic response or enthusiastic person. There's nothing like it. It just simply inspires and infuses you with enthusiasm. Encouragement. If you can go home and find something to say good to your mother, I encourage you to do that. It'll do two things. I think it'll be good for you, and I think it'll be good for her. Mothers, you have a vital and important role to play in the lives of your children, and they have played a very vital and important role. In the long run, in eternity, what will the role of the mother be? What will your role be? What will the role of the father be? In eternity, in this, beyond this life, beyond this sphere as we know it, beyond this where we're at, I don't know what the role of a mother will be. Probably not the role of a mother as we know it here. I guess what I'm thinking is, if I can have the right spirit, the right proper attitude towards my mother in thankfulness for what she has done for me, that's going to be, God's going to say, good, that's well done. I think also that, I don't know. I'll just throw this out for whatever it's worth. I think that there'll be a special blessing on mothers and on fathers too, on parents that have done well. So I'm encouraging you. You know, we as children of our parents can be a blessing to our parents by thanking them, by appreciating them, by being encouraging to them, and by following them. They can be a tremendous blessing. We can be a tremendous blessing to them. And I think that is a way also that we can help them, and they can be helped in their walk in life too. So we as children, we have the opportunity to help our parents, to help our mothers get a blessing from God. I just want to make another couple comments about the candle in the window. I hope none of you have ever been in the place I've been in. I don't think Mother knew what that meant to me. I don't know if I told her that or not. I don't remember. Can't tell her now. It's interesting, I remember it. And you know, you remember the things that are important to you. That's just the way it always works with human mind, largely. To me, it wasn't the key that brought me back. But it was one of those things that if it hadn't been there, and if I could feel a resistance or I could feel a pushing away, it would have been altogether different. So I encourage you, mothers, figuratively at least, put your candle in the window that all of your children can know your love for them, your acceptance of them, your care for them. I'm sure you do. May God bless you all who are mothers, and all of us as we bless our mothers as much as we can, wherever they are. Some of them aren't living. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Obviously, it was your plan to propagate human race and all that. But we're thanking you, Lord, for the spirit in mothers and that heart in mothers that is not in fathers. And it's also vital to us. You planned it that way. So we thank you, Father, for that. It was a plan that you did. It isn't something we came up with, and we're thanking you for doing it. But we're thanking you, Lord, for the wisdom you had. We're blessing you. We're praising you for what you did in this aspect of mothers and their relationship to their children and how they have, what all they have done for us. Help us, Lord, to, in the right and proper ways, give back to them what they deserve, but that our debt that we have, we can at least have a attitude of paying it back somehow. Now, Father, just want to pray your blessing on the mothers here and our mothers, if they're still living. Bless them for what they have done for us. That's our desire, because we're indebted to them and we'd like to see them have a blessing. May your kingdom come and your will be done in our hearts, in the hearts of our mothers, in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.